Okay, well, good morning, everyone, and thank you, ladies, for joining us this morning. Timely that you should join us today because this lesson is about love. Who doesn't like love, especially if you're a woman? I even bought my bag. My bag's covered in love. Look at that. It's all about love today. And the men don't escape because the lesson is called How to Spell Love to Your Wife. How do you do it? Now, we've been studying in the married couples class about a thing called the crazy cycle. And you get on this crazy cycle in your relationship when you fall out of this of love and respect. Love for women, respect for men. They're the two most important aspects that we've been looking at. And so what happens if there's no love and there's no respect, you're on this crazy cycle that just keeps spinning and it spirals out of control and the relationships get out of control. It's disorder. And God is a God of order. Amen? And because this crazy cycle is always ready to spin, what we need to do in our relationships is to get on what's called an energizing cycle and stay there. And an energizing cycle starts with his love motivating her respect, which then motivates his love. And that is a much more positive and much more encouraging cycle to be on than the crazy cycle. Nobody wants to be there. But for husbands, the key is to learn how to spell love to your wife. Now, if you've got a piece of paper there, ladies, you just need to fill in the blanks. Love is the first blank. And the secret is found in the acronym COUPLE, C-O-U-P-L-E, COUPLE. And I've written it down on the piece of paper. The first letter, C, stands for closeness. And in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, the Bible says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." So closeness comes out of Genesis chapter 2 and 24, and you can write these Bible verses down alongside those if you like. O stands for openness. Openness in Malachi 2:15. "Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth." Malachi 2:15. U is understanding, which comes from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Understanding. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. And we're going to look at each one of these in coming weeks. Today we'll get a bit of an overview because it's the last of the term. We don't get too far into it because next term we want to look at this word couple, and there's also one for the ladies, don't despair. But understanding is 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7. "Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife." P is peacemaking, peacemaking. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, the Bible says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." L is for loyalty. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15, speaks of contentment with your wife. Proverbs 5:15, loyalty. Not much loyalty around these days. And E, the last letter, is esteem, esteem. And in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18, "Rejoice with the wife of thy youth." So that is the acronym COUPLE, and we'll study out closeness and openness and understanding and peacemaking and loyalty and esteem. And men, if you can get these nailed down, then you will have a wonderful time. You will be able to rejoice with the wife of thy youth. So let's make a start today. And I think the first one that everybody can recognize is this one, close. She wants you to be close. You is the blank in letter A. She wants you to be close. And it's no coincidence that early on in the Bible, in describing the first marriage in human history, there's that living definition of the meaning of closeness. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now when the scripture speaks of cleaving, that's the next blank, cleaving, the idea in the Hebrew is to cling, to hold, to keep close. I think it was described at one point, it might have been you, Pastor, that talked about how when they got hold of a sword, they cleaved to the sword. They just held it so tightly because in battle it was important to strike a blow. You needed to cleave to that sword. The two are joined together face to face and they become one flesh. Cleaving also means spiritual and emotional closeness. They're the next two blanks. Spiritual and emotional closeness. So this is a passage which is full of insights for husbands. Getting together spiritually and emotionally. Feeling close. Your wife will feel loved when you move toward her and let her know you want to be close, whether it be with a look, a touch, or a smile. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 24, the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 5. It's a very interesting passage of scripture concerning marriage, and a custom that used to take place. You look at verse 5. When a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife which he hath taken. Now that I found was a fascinating passage of scripture because it shows how well the Israelites actually understood marriage. No battle for a year after marriage. Why the whole first year? Well, they knew that the first year of marriage was fundamental. It was important to set the tone for the closeness of the relationship before the wear and tear of life took the husband away for periods of time and before they faced other problems, i.e. children coming along. So that first year was important to the Israelites. And it should be important to husbands and wives who are newly married. That the first year sets the tone for the rest of the relationship. And letter B, the first few seconds set the tone. First few seconds set the tone. So spending all of the first year together and never being apart, just not feasible today, is it? Really, not feasible. You can't just live in each other's pockets today because that's just the way of today's culture and the way that we live in Sydney. But you can still set a positive tone each day. When you come home after being apart, the first few moments of reconnecting sets the tone for the rest of the evening. And I was thinking about this, it's not just restricted to a marriage relationship. Setting the tone for any relationship can take the first few seconds. You come to church on a Sunday morning, the first few seconds can set the tone. Come in smiling, come in shaking hands, being friendly to one another, showing forth the love of God, taking a moment just to see how the other person's week went. All those things set the tone, which can then flow on for the rest of the service and the rest of the day. And our ushers should always be smiling when you come in. They should greet you with a smile at the door. It's important that we set a tone for the rest of the morning. And likewise, when you come home, you should set a tone. And I know that in today's culture and in an expensive city such as Sydney, that economics often dictate that both the husband and the wife work. And your wife may arrive home after you do, simply because that's of the basic dynamics. But still, that theory of closeness applies. because you've got to remember that women want to connect, and she wants to connect. She wants face-to-face involvement. And so you both may have had a long and a tough day. And men, if all you want to do then is just flop on the lounge and watch TV while she fixes you a nice dinner, you're missing it big time. This kind of uninvolved behaviour will not make your wife feel loved. And it's at this time you need to recall Proverbs 18:22, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing." She will feel loved if you come into the kitchen and help her prepare dinner, even if it's nothing more than setting the table. Or you could possibly even start dinner before she gets home. How about that? What a concept. Not that hard to boil water. Yet another idea is to sit and talk with her as she gets the meal organised. Tell her about your day and be sure to ask her about hers. Same principle as you come into church. Ask them about their week. Ask them, you know, people love to talk about what they've been up to during the past week. And listen. Be careful to listen. You know, she may be busy with children or other duties, but she will be listening. Amazing like that. Women can do a couple of things at the same time. And she'll be listening. And what she tends to look for is your desire to dwell with her for a short period to discover where her heart is. And if she senses that you authentically want to connect, and then this can do more for her than just than a one-hour discussion. For your wife, face-to-face time is actually heart-to-heart time. And this is especially true if she's got a burden. And the wise husband tries to pick up clues that suggest this might be the case. Some husbands might think that spending all of this time in the kitchen is unmanly. But, as we've seen in Deuteronomy 24:5, the Hebrew generals did not mock a warrior for being at home. In fact, as a man of honour, he was ordered to spend his first year of marriage with his wife. Now, undoubtedly, a young man, he wanted to go out with his comrades and fight the enemy. But as a man of honour, he learned to do two things. In the field, he did that was what was respectable, and in the family, he did what was loving. Love and respect was evident. And he wore his two hats interchangeably, and he wore them well. And if a husband will adjust his blue sunglasses, we've been talking about this, ladies, that the men wear blue sunglasses and have blue hearing aids, they hear things blue. The women have pink sunglasses and pink hearing aids, they hear things pink. You've got to work out which one you've got on. The men have their blue sunglasses. If you're just going to adjust them a little bit, he'll understand that his wife needs to feel close and connect face to face in a way that he doesn't. You think about the coffee shops around Sydney where they have their cappuccinos and their lattes, you know. Many of these shops have little round tables. They've got little round tables. They don't have the big long square tables. And they have two chairs facing each other. And usually they have two people sitting at these small tables, leaning forward, face to face, hand under the chin, talking. And when you look at them, they're predominantly women that are doing the face to face around the table. As a rule, they are women. Women like round tables that place no one at the head of the position of leadership. They like to see eye to eye and connect on a personal level. And this connectivity is what women look for in any relationship, especially marriage. When she married you, she thought you would be like her best girlfriend. You would figuratively sit with her at a little round table and talk eye to eye. But that probably didn't happen. And with many husbands, sadly to say, it seldom and never happens. So let us see, is involvement versus independence? Involvement versus independence. Now, men, before you take a guilt trip, let's just realise that no man can meet all the emotional needs of a woman. However, perhaps you can start to try and meet some of your wife's needs by foregoing your mobile phone, your favourite sports channel, or your computer screen for a little while. you can understand what she's doing when she moves toward you, which she normally will do. That's why she follows you around in the evening, or did when she was first married to you. It's her way of showing you that she loves you. So here's a tip. A woman in love longs for closeness. Song of Solomon chapter 3 verse 4, it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go. A woman in love longs for closeness. One way to picture this relationship between a man and a woman has the word involvement at one end of the scale. I don't know if everybody can see that, but there's a diagram there with involvement at one end and independence at the other end, and there's a line between them. And in a typical marriage relationship, she leans more towards involvement, the involvement side, while he leans more towards the independence side. And when you get too independent, especially men, when you put up the barriers, when you stonewall, she doesn't feel close to you and begins to feel that you don't love her. It's a red flag. And then when she doesn't give you the space that you need, men, you begin to feel that she's trying to get too involved and doesn't respect you. She's trying to control you, and therefore you start to put up your red flag. The dividing line illustrates the tension that exists between your basic needs for involvement and independence. Now, tension's not a bad thing. It's just simply there. The tension between involvement and independence is another illustration of the difference between men and women, the difference of pink and blue. As a man, you'll probably not be able to be involved with your wife as much as she may like. And again, I'm not asking men to become women. We're not here to say, go to that cappuccino shop and sit there at a round table and sip coffee and be there face to face. No, you're a man and your wife loves you for being a man, not a woman. She doesn't expect you to become feminine, just like her girlfriend. But when you move toward her, when you show her you want to connect, even in small ways, watch what happens. It will motivate her. It will motivate her. It will energize her. And it will keep your marriage off the crazy cycle and on the energizing cycle. Now, of course, men, you can hang on to that brass ring called independence. You can insist on having your space. After all, you work hard all week and you deserve a little golf or, you know, watching a good game on TV. You're not going to be one of these henpecked husbands who can never get out with the guys because his wife always has chores and errands she wants him to do. And besides, you're not going to move toward her until you get a little more respect, a little more awareness of your need for space and independence. Reckon that'll work? No. It doesn't work. It never worked and it never will work. You cannot motivate your spouse to give you what you need by withholding what she really needs. If you do, you're just going to jump on that crazy cycle. Without love, she'll react without respect. Without respect, you'll react without love. And one of the biggest stumbling blocks to drawing closer to your wife may be the classic male fear of being so controlled you feel you can't make a move without checking with her first. I think they used to call it under the thumb when I was a bit younger. You're under the thumb, brother. You can't do anything. If you have committed to being a love and respect husband, those fears will just be as they were, childish. They're just childish. You're not henpecked at all. You're doing the right thing. Genesis 2:24 talks about this becoming one flesh with your wife. There isn't a word about henpecked in that statement. Now, obviously, both of you are going to need some space now and then, and working that out is part of becoming mature adults who communicate and who try to decode each other's needs. The husband is to recognize that, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 11. The cycles, though, the cycles battle to the death. They battle to the death. That's the next blank. So we've got to choose to be adults. We are all adults. Amen? We've got to choose to be an adult. You've got to understand that to stop the crazy cycle, you've got to get on this energizing cycle. I have to determine to give Michelle what she really needs. And when I do that, she then becomes motivated to give me what I really need. To paraphrase the golden rule, just as you want your spouse to treat your spouse the same way. Luke 6:31. There's no neutrality. In a way, this is war, a battle to the death between the crazy cycle and the energizing cycle. You can either motivate, that's the next blank, motivate your wife rightly, or you can demoralize, you can demoralize your wife. It's your choice. I went looking for some Bible examples of men who really love their wives. There's lots of them in the Bible. What about Joseph? Joseph and Mary. There's a man who loved his wife. He really showed love to his wife. He could have put her away. He could have put her away privily. He thought about it. The Holy Spirit intervened. He was a just man, Joseph, and he wanted to do the right thing. But he stuck by Mary. He stuck by Mary. What about Moses? Moses stuck by the Cushite woman when Aaron and Miriam spoke against him. He stuck by her. Boaz is another godly example. These are men that we can take note of and look up and just see how they did love their women. They loved their wives. Elkanah. Remember Elkanah? He was married to Hannah, who was childless. That was a terrible shame for women back in those days. And Elkanah could have divorced her, but he loved her deeply. So he stuck by her. And he tried his best. Of course, she bore Samuel, Israel's last and greatest judge. Hosea was another one. He was a prophet, but he had a very unhappy marriage. Married to a woman called Gomer, who was serially unfaithful to him. Seems to have had children by other men, but Hosea remained faithful and kept taking her back. That's love. There was another one I noted, Phaltiel, who was the second husband of Michal, Saul's daughter. And he was the one that came along weeping when David said, go and get her, go and get Michal, bring her back. He came along with him, weeping as he went. What a faithful man he was. So there are examples that you can look at in Scripture which can reinforce these principles and give you some examples of husbands who loved their wives. We've seen there are many examples of great women throughout Scripture as well. There's a story about an older couple having dinner in a restaurant, and the wife sees another couple about their age sitting in a booth nearby. She sees the husband sitting close to his wife with his arm around her. He's whispering things in her ear and she's smiling and blushing. He's gently rubbing her shoulder and touching her hair. The woman turns to her husband and says, look at that couple over there. Look how close that man is to his wife. How he's talking to her. Look at how sweet he is. Why don't you ever do that? The husband looks up from his Caesar salad and he glances over at the next booth, turns to his wife and says, I don't even know that woman. I know it's an old joke. It's a dad joke. A wife is always hoping. Now this time will my husband be joined unto me. It makes the point that pink, women want closeness. Blue is busy with his Caesar salad, anticipating a prime rib to come. But until you both adjust your sunglasses and your hearing aids, there's always going to be that tension in the relationship, and it won't make for a great marriage. A great marriage happens when the tension is dealt with creatively, or when the tension is avoided completely by doing a few positive, loving things. This can pay off big time, especially for the wives. And letter E, being close costs nothing. cost nothing but your time and love. So I'm trying to put together some practical ideas for us men. We need something practical that we can note down. So some tried and true ideas. For example, do you realize there's power in just holding her hand? Just holding her hand. A woman feels close to her husband and therefore feels loved when he holds her hand. Michelle and I make a point of doing that when we have the opportunity. Even when we're out with the kids. In fact, when we're out with the kids, it's great. We'll be able to hold hands. Give them an example. Hey, you're holding hands when you get married. Not before. Holding hands. So then consider the additional power of a hug. When was the last time you hugged your wife? You can get busy. You can forget about that. Hug. Or consider being affectionate without wanting anything in return. Might sound a bit like an oxymoron, but it's true. Why not start being affectionate at breakfast? Or at some other time during the day. Hold her hand, give her a hug, tell her you love her, tell her how pretty she is. Be affectionate. Set the right tone. Now, I've touched on just a few examples. And no doubt you men have got others that you can tell me about. But all these suggestions are simple and they cost nothing but your time and your willingness to be close. So remember to be affectionate and attentive every day, not just on the days you feel like it. Affection should be an end, not a means. I think we need to go back to our key chapter. Now, ladies who haven't been with us, our key focus has been on Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. But I think there are some other passages that we need to reflect on this morning. So if we can go to Ephesians chapter 5. We start with verse 18, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. What a difference our houses would be, our homes would be, if we were filled with the Spirit, more often than not. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. A joyful home. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great house it would be if people were thankful. They're thankful. We should be thankful. All of us here are blessed. We're blessed. The pastor has said it many, many a time. We're blessed to live in Sydney. One of the top cities in the world. Go out and have a look at that harbour sometime. Remind yourself what a beautiful place that God has put us. We need to be more thankful. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wonderful verse, wonderful lessons in that. Submission in the home. For the husband is that, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. We've looked at that. Great principle. 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25, underline that, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. There's that sacrificial, agape love. Verse 28, if we skip down there, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. It's a good principle. We're talking about love this morning, loving your wife. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Verse 31, we looked at earlier, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined under his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So it's reinforced in the New Testament as it is in the Old. And then verse 33, which is our key text verse. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband or respect her husband. So there it is. There's the love and there's the respect in verse number 33. So what we need to be doing, men, this week and during the holiday is planning some things that are going to draw us closer to our wives, and think about setting that good tone, setting that tone not just for husbands and wives, but in all relationships. A smile and a friendly outlook will go a long way. Even though we didn't get that much of a response yesterday when we were out door knocking, you know what I found about the suburb of Longueville? It's a much more friendly suburb than Greenwich. Sorry, people of Greenwich, but you're not that friendly. But at Longueville, at least they're friendly, and they will smile, and they will take the literature, even if they don't want to come to this church, but it's a much friendlier, and it goes a long way to encouraging you. And I'm going to finish up this morning with a few more examples, and maybe you men might have some that I missed here that you want to put your hand up and remind me of, but I like holding her hand, I think, is a very good example. Your wife will feel closer to you when you hold her hand, when you hug her, when you are affectionate without other intentions. When you are alone with her so you can focus on each other and have a laugh together. That's, you know, sometimes you need a good laugh together. When you go for a walk, I put, or jog, but I don't jog, so just go for a walk. Anything that results in togetherness, basically. When you seek her out and set up a date night. When you eat by candlelight, there's a thought. Candles, not just for birthdays. You go out of your way to do something for her, like run an errand. When you make it a priority to spend time with her as a person with a mind and opinions. And that's very important, especially when your wife has young children, because those young children will suck the life out of them to the point where they might not think that they have a mind or opinions other than what formula best suits baby X. So to sit down with them and talk about what's happening will reinforce that. Let her know you enjoy discussing things with her and getting her insights. Here's a thought. Your wife will feel closer to you when you suggest the unexpected, provided you have a budget. You go and get takeout and eat it on the beach. Or take a walk to see the full moon. What a moon out there tonight. Let's go and have a look at it. Or go and park up on the hill and watch the sunset. These are just some of the thoughts that I had and jotted down about our relationship and how these kind of things just bring us closer. But you'll know what your wife enjoys. We had a family gathering on Friday night for Zach's birthday, and we all had all the family together. Michelle loves that. I know that she loves that. She loves having all the family together under one roof, and your mum's the same. So when you know what that is, you can then plan for that. You can say, okay, well, on this particular night, we're going to make sure everybody's going to be here. And you might have to do a ring around and make sure they clear their schedule to get everybody on board. Those are the kind of examples that we have. How to spell love to your wife. It's so important that we do this, men, because that's the big thing as far as women are concerned. And we're going to talk later on in the year about how to spell respect to your husband. So the cycle will come around and the ladies will find out what it is that encourages men as well. So thank you for your attention this morning. I trust you've enjoyed the study on how to spell love, and we'll just pray and close this morning.